Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The text for our consideration this morning comes from the very first words of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, in the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. On the day when the Lord had caused manna to fall from heaven to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness, he told Moses to tell the people, "The Lord has given to you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." Later, when God spoke from the top of Mount Sinai, he told the people of Israel, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." As the Lord gave instruction to Moses to teach the people his law, the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed." From Christmas onward, we in the congregation have followed the work of Jesus, how he healed, how he preached, how he taught. His Father had sent him into the world to labor as the good shepherd to care for his sheep, seeking those who strayed and were lost, gathering them to return in his bosom. During the season of Lent, we have watched as he continued to labor, healing the sick, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and how the more he labored, the more the thorns and the thistles rose against him, how the briars and the thickets worked against him. He had entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to buy you back from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, so that you would be freed and made a child of God, an heir of eternity with Christ. And he completed that work on Good Friday, when his thorn-encircled brow bowed low in the sleep of death. Then he was taken down from the cross, laid in the tomb to rest from his labors. It was just as the Lord had declared when creation had been completed, even before sin entered the world. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And now, in St. Mark's Gospel, we read these words. When the Sabbath was past, the day of rest is over. Now is the dawning of a new day, a new era. And on the first day of the week, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and also Salome, bought spices so that they may go to anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They knew where it was, of course, because they watched his body laid there just a couple of days before. What they didn't apparently know was that Nicodemus had already bought spices and that he and Joseph of Arimathea wrapped Jesus' body tightly for burial. What's more, as they approach, they don't even know who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance of the cave. But when they get there, they find that none of that matters, for the Sabbath had passed, and Christ Jesus has risen from the dead, and now he continues to labor and work in order that all might be drawn to him, saved by the work that he has already accomplished. And now there is no time to waste. There is much to do. Risen from the dead, Jesus descends into hell. He preaches to those who died in disobedience and rebellion against God, and he leads out the saints so that they would dwell with him in heaven until he returns for the final judgment. And thus, Jesus proved beyond doubt he has conquered the devil, he has destroyed the power of death. And as we see in our text, he simply can't wait around for everyone else to finally discover he's risen. Instead, he sends his messengers, angels, in order to open the tomb and preach to the world that the one who was dead is now alive. And as the angelic messengers greet the women and tell him, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said, he sends his own bride, the church, to preach and proclaim to the world the good news, sins forgiven, eternal life won by the work of Jesus. Jesus went ahead to Galilee to teach the apostles and Peter what it means that he died and rose again. He tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He establishes them, this tiny band of witnesses, so that they would be witness to the world. He commands them, saying, go and baptize all the nations into his name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he commands them to teach all those who have been baptized to cherish and to treasure everything that Jesus taught and did. The Sabbath has passed. Now it is the first day of the week, the eighth day of creation, and now we live in the days that come after. Jesus continues to send forth his church to proclaim this good news in order to draw all men to himself, all through the preaching of mercy, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation won by his death on the cross. These are the days in which we live, and this is the work that Jesus gives us to do. By his Spirit, he gives us faith to believe and trust in everything that he has already accomplished for us. And now, having risen from the dead and giving new life to our mortal bodies, he has raised us up as his co-laborers to work in this world for the cause of the gospel. The real gospel, not what everyone tells us the gospel is, but the good news that because Jesus lives, because he is risen from the dead, you also may have new life. All the sorrow and hopelessness is gone. The Sabbath has passed, and Jesus has arisen victorious. Now there are many who hope that the church is finally in its final and last hours. We watch churches close. The number of the faithful dwindles in comparison to the number of unbelievers in the population. Faith seems to flicker. There's a hope in the world that finally they will have rest and to be able to live as they wish, not worrying about God's law and his commands, not being disturbed by God's word, which calls them to repentance and faith. But they are foolish. They are naive. In their zeal to hold on to their unbelief, in their desire to continue to reject God's mercy and grace, they deny that they need forgiveness. And they will not only lose out on eternal life, but they will simply become more and more belligerent in their attitude towards Christ and his followers. But dear friends, the Sabbath has passed. There is no time for us to rest. And we dare not shrink back like the women who brought spices that first Easter. We know that our Lord is risen. We cannot act and behave as if he's still dead and in the grave, as if there is no hope. Because those women were afraid, afraid of what others would think, afraid of what others would say, afraid of what others might do to them, they kept silent. They said nothing to anyone. And we cannot be like them, because we have encountered the risen Lord ourselves. He has washed us clean in his own name in the waters of baptism. We encounter him weekly in this place, in his body and his blood. And now the Sabbath is past, and therefore we must rouse from our slumber and rededicate ourselves to the tasks which the Lord our God has given to us, the proclamation of the message of salvation, boldly in proclaiming that Christ, our King and our risen Lord, has come from the dead and is now ruling and reigning over all things. If the world ignores us, it's a great blessing, because we can continue to proclaim the truth boldly and loudly. If the world hates us, so be it. It simply means we need to be all the more bold and loud in our proclamation of the truth, because it is only the proclamation of this truth that changes hearts and minds, nothing else. Unlike the women, we will not be silent. We will not go slowly. We will not go quietly. We will behave like men. We will take our courage and all the more boldly and proudly proclaim the truth. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus is the living one, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who was dead and now lives. And our slogan, our responsory, is not simply a slogan or responsory. It is not merely a liturgical greeting that we pull out once a year for a few weeks. This is our reason for living. The fact that Christ is risen from the dead is the core, the essence of who we are as Christians. It's what causes us to rise in the morning, and it is the principle by which we order our daily lives. Yes, there are still things that must be done, because we still live on earth and under the curse. By the sweat of our brow, we do eat bread. But this world as it is passing away. There's nothing to build here that will endure. Our work in this world must now be aimed. All our purpose needs to be devoted to making sure our children, our neighbors, our friends, our community, our nation, and the world knows that our risen Lord Jesus is the one through whom all men are saved. It is only because he lives that we have any hope of eternal life. But we do have that hope, because when the Sabbath was passed, Jesus rose from the dead, and he proved that death has lost its sting. The grave could not hold him, and it will not hold you. Now you have been released from your slavery to sin, and you have this expectation that when Jesus returns, he will raise your mortal body to be like his glorious body, because the risen and ascended one has washed you clean and made you part of himself in holy baptism. So we look forward to tomorrow and the next day and the next day in the knowledge, the certain proof that the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, And our brother, Jesus, is the one who now lives and reigns over all things, and he promises to help and give us every blessing. Dear friends, the Sabbath has passed. The time of rest has come to an end, and the work of Christ goes on. So on this most holy and blessed of days, we rejoice and we celebrate. The grave has lost its sting. We already have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Sabbath past, we dedicate ourselves in word and deed to declare this truth to the world. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.